Hello everyone, this is Graham Flynn, Chief Executive Officer of Devon Insight, and it's my great pleasure to be hosting today's Sight Loss Speaker event. This is our 12th event to date, and as with all of these events, out of courtesy to everyone, we will be muted except the speakers during the main presentation. If we have time at the end of the presentation, we will open up the conversation to everyone so that you can ask questions. We hope to make the presentation between 30 minutes and an hour long, so that you will not use up your free call time on your telephone package. If you've missed any of our previous speaker events, you can access them through the homepage of our website at www.devoninsight.org.uk. That web address again is www.devoninsight.org.uk. I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that we are still here for you despite the COVID restrictions. So what are we doing? We're holding weekly speaker events and have extended the program till the end of March. If you have any ideas about speakers you'd like to hear from, please give us a ring. Our community support team are still available to support you, particularly with up-to-date COVID advice and to support and the support available to you from health, social care and partner organizations. Please give them a call on their mobile or ring the help line. If any of you would like some emotional support, please give your support worker a call and we can arrange for you to have a chat with Tracy Agata, our emotional support coordinator. You can chat with Tracy in confidence about how you're feeling. This is not a counselling service, but the opportunity to refer to a local counsellor is an option. We've also got our new equipment bursary fund, which can help you access some free equipment. We have some USB players available for those who wish to access talking books and newspapers, talking clocks, liquid level indicators, bump-ons, signature guides, VIP badges, some sunflower lanyards, and some task lighting. Limited supplies are available on a first-come, first-served basis. Please remember that you can access all of Devon Insight services through our helpline. The telephone number is 01392-876-666. That number again, 01392-876-666. Before we start the main presentation, I'd like to announce an important new development within the charity. For some time, we've wanted to make our assistive technology service offer much better. In order to achieve this, we've set up an exclusive assistive technology partnership with Sight and Sound Technology Limited. To discuss the development of this new service and how it will operate, I'm delighted to welcome our guest speaker, Glenn Tookey, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Sight and Sound. Morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Gray. Very pleased to be with you and your community today.
Thank you. So, Glenn, can you tell me a bit about the history of Sight and Sound Technology?
Well, yes, we've been in our 42nd year now. And we're best known for being the supplier of low vision and blindness products, UK. But we're also very well versed in the area of literacy support, and general disability. So you'd probably like to say we're a pan-disability technology company, but of course best known for being a blind and low vision supplier.
Fantastic. How did you get involved with the company?
You know, I've always been in technology all my life. I started as a 16-year-old as an apprentice with BT. And if you ever dial 1471 to find out who called you, I was part of the team that developed that for BT a long, long time ago. And so I've always been in technology. Luckily enough to head one of the cable companies in the UK. So I got really excited about the growth of technology and the new, it was growing very, very fast during the 80s and 90s, and ended up really looking for something to invest in myself. I'd been very enjoyed running many companies, but I raised the money on the market actually, and went looking for great technology companies to get involved in, and Sight and Sound was presented to me. It wasn't really where I was looking. I was looking at internet and data storage and all that stuff that was happening. And then someone said, hey, there's this really good company. It supports blind people, and it's got this really clever mobile phone. And you come from the mobile phone area, don't you? What do you think? And I had a look at it, and as Remington says with the razor, tried it once and bought it, you know. So, yeah.
you're showing your age there, talking about Remington razors. Do you remember the advert?
I do remember the adverts. So, yes, so once presented, and everybody listening to this knows, you know, that the area of sight loss is very, very precious and very important for people to be supported properly, to get the very best out of it. And when I saw the works the company does, I just had to stay involved, and I've enjoyed it for 13 years since.
Fantastic. Well, you've covered my next two questions, so I'll move on to the next one, which was, how do you find the voluntary sector to work with?
It's fantastic. It's fantastic because it's a mixture of volunteers. It's a mixture of people who've got a lot of experience. And it's also got a smattering of people with commercial backgrounds like myself as well. And it's sometimes a bit of a challenge bringing the two together. But I find it rewarding, actually. I find it rewarding. People give their hearts in the voluntary sector. And that's really, for me, the most important part of getting out of bed in the morning. If you give your heart and soul to it, then you're likely to go to bed happy than when you woke up. That's the plan anyway. It doesn't always work like that, I know. But yes, I find it sometimes challenging, but generally very, very exciting, actually.
That's exactly how I feel about it. And it's hard work, and I think it's been really hard in the last year as well. You know, when we talk about Devon in Sight, we think of ourselves as sort of extended family. You know, we're quite a close staff team. And, you know, it's been a very stressful 12 months. But we'll come on to that in a minute. So back to your business, Sight and Sound. Mm-hmm. I understand that there are three core areas of your business. Can you tell me a bit more?
Yeah, so the very largest part of our business is the supply of equipment, software, services like training, et cetera, support for people who are blind and visually impaired. And we deal with the whole breadth of the net there, from early school age all the way up to people in three digits, like Sir Captain Tom. And all of them require a bit of support, and all require something different. But the technology is basically there helping you gain your independence. The other part of our business, which is also very large, is the literacy area. We are a supplier in Disabled Students Allowance and the Access to Work area, which requires a lot of technology for dyslexia, dyspraxia, dyscalculia, and conditions such as that. So we got a good piece of our work there. And then we fill in other disability technologies like ergonomic equipment as well. And we deliver all of those across the consumer base, education, corporate and small business as well. So we're involved in those areas of business, and it's all about technology for people who need a little bit of support due to some form of condition.
Fantastic. So how did you first get to know about Devon in Sight?
Well, we've worked with you for a number of years, actually. So we sort of knew you existed. We pop along regularly to your events, etc. But I first really got more closely involved in the really good work you're doing, and you're unique in the industry with some of the work that you are doing. And it was with Julian and the Julian Garner and the Sight Loss MOT program that was shown to me, and I thought, now this is really neat, and let me get more involved in seeing how we can support it from a technology aspect. And that's got talking to Julian, got talking to you, and here we are today.
So for any of our listeners who don't know, the Sight Loss MOT is the name that we give our needs assessment. And it was designed as part of the National Lottery project that's just come to an end. So we had a 4 years of National Lottery funding, and out of that project came the MOT. And it's designed basically, I'd like to think that it's unselfish. It's not about what Devonian Sight can do for somebody with sight loss, but it's about what the sector as a whole should be doing for people. And we call that the sight loss pathway. So that's the pathway through health and social care and through support in the community and through the voluntary sector. And the MOT has sort of eight facets to it, which are quite important. And I'll just reiterate what they are. So they're firstly understanding your eye condition, making the best use of your sight, improving your health and well-being, managing at home, getting out and about, understanding your finances and entitlements, taking an active part in your community, and meeting other people with sight loss. So really, the work that we've been doing with you and we're going to be doing in the future is helping people adjust to their sight loss and making the best use of their sight through assistive technology. So that's the Sight Loss MOT. And I really need to sing the praises of the team in designing that. It was a team effort. And of course, Gillian is now training a number of charities around the country to adopt the MOT model of working. So, again, Glenn, what is it that actually impressed you about the MOT as a model?
It's holistic, Gray. That's the point. It covers everything about that person's life and seeks to understand it and help them understand where they can get some support and value and independence. And my feeling was that this was a superb program and that I felt we could augment it or support it in some way with our technology capabilities. So that's where the conversation started. But I liked it because it was just one big holistic view of somebody's life, and you should really be able to add value if you can, you know, go through those eight phases and with somebody and work out how to point them in the right direction.
To me, it's all very logical, a holistic model. I wish that more people in health would look at the whole person. So, yeah, as I say, I'm very proud of it. Okay, let's bring things to the current climate we're living in. So we're living in difficult times, what with Brexit, COVID-19, and the ongoing challenging economic climate. How has this affected your business?
You know, I feel very proud and pleased actually that a year on from COVID, our business is bigger and better, and we've worked very hard to achieve that. Inside the business, we sent everybody home on March 6th last year, and our business had a very good platform already. Our IT and services support platform is very good. People just unplugged their phone, unplugged their little mini PC, went home, plugged them in, and the whole business was up and running again in a couple of hours. And so we therefore made people safe. But, you know, I've got my business is like your family, really. It's a family business, and it feels like it anyway. There's 40 of us. But I have many husbands and wives and fiancés and son-in-laws and things like that in my business. And, you know, it was one of the big stages for us as COVID hit, because they were in their own bubbles. So I could leave five or six people in the building carrying out all the logistics, taking in goods, packing, pushing goods out. So I had a couple of families, one running the top floor, one running the bottom floor in our building, everybody else sitting at home. And off we went. And then we augmented that by turning a chap called Stuart Lawler, who's one of our... He runs a Northern Ireland office for us. We've got offices in Dublin and Glasgow as well as Northampton. And he's just got the voice of radio. And we thought what we need to do is communicate just as we're doing here now. People can't come to us, so we need to go to them. So I turned his role round to be full-time content creator, and we ran probably five webinars a week, 5 podcasts a week. We cut videos for every single product, put it all onto our YouTube channel, and then chatted the hell out of the UK. And anybody who wanted some sight loss information and came online sort of found us. We put some very powerful promotions in place to help people afford the technology, and it sort of went from there. The business has just grown and grown, 20% up in the last year, which is, I know, very different to many businesses that just didn't have the opportunity to get out of where they got out of. But we galvanized ourselves, and we arrive here in a stronger position than we started, and that's down to the grace of God and a bit of hard work as well, I think.
So conversely, as a charity leader, we have two things to look at. Firstly, the team became very, very focused. We started shifting things to online and over the telephone. We've adapted very quickly. And like you, we got stuff up and running within hours. I mean, it was amazing and very, very dedicated. Our income isn't up. shared with lots of charities, the current climate is we cannot hold, and we did not hold a single fundraising event last year. And it's very, very challenging, and there's a lots of competition for trusts and grants funding. But we have been concentrating on it, and we're currently preparing our pitch for the National Lottery. And this, I suppose, takes me on to my next question, and it's about that thing that people like yourself and me bring to the voluntary sector, which is we've had lives outside the charity sector, and we've come into this. And my question is, how does Devon Insight's commercial relationship with a business benefit the charity?
Well, I think, you've dealt with many businesses, and of course we're in place really to be able to provide services and support. But I think what I would answer that question is say, how does your relationship with a single business benefit the charity? And I would say what you can get from working with a business like ours is a broad range of subject areas, technology, experiences across the whole age range, knowledge of different conditions. You know, I said at the beginning, we've been going for 42 years. I've got some of my people been with me between 20 and 30 years. And one of the things they do know and understand is much of the technology going back that time. So we've got many people out there listening to this who've got technology they've had for many years. And I think sometimes you do need the ability to work with a commercial operation that can raise money and invest and create services that perhaps the voluntary sector cannot. And I think if you get it to work properly, which is obviously what you and I are trying to do, is to get the right balance of that knowledge, care, loyalty, understanding. You get at the front end of your business as a charity that's you're steeped in it, and at the back end perhaps a slightly more harder commercial approach to making sure that we can all survive, because you survive by getting some income to pay the people to deliver the services. And I'm sort of really the same, just with a slightly different approach to it. I think you benefit, because together we should be able to deliver everything we need to if we get it right.
I think the important thing for me, Glenn, and to share with our listeners is the fact that through our discussions, what I love about your business model is the fact that it's very similar to ours, which is that visually impaired people are right at the center of what you do. Mm. They are the focus of your product lines, the development, and your whole service. And I think that's what really impressed me. So that synergy between the two organizations seemed to be something that we ought to explore. So let's move on to the next question, which is Sight and Sound are the master distributor in the UK for a number of manufacturers. What is a master distributor?
So a master distributor is the company that imports all of the goods from the manufacturer often from a different country, although not necessarily, but generally from a different country. So we're the master for a range of products, and our job is to import them and then support dealers and other companies who will then also distribute them into the market. But the benefit of being a master distributor is that it allows us to sit across the top. It allows us to make investment in marketing and support for the products that we sell, safely the knowledge that, and this is a commercial concern, of course, that if we are the master, anyone who is taking it to market and selling it is supported by us, but he's not competing with us. So we're able to put investment and time and energy into the market with our partners and our dealers, knowing that we're all developing one market. And in small niche markets like blind and low vision, we find that works much better than three or four companies trying to sell the same product. That often means you don't have enough market share to invest in support and training. And one of our little bywords is that we never, ever leave one of our clients out there hanging, needing help. And being a master distributor means that we can do that safely, that investment, knowing that we can put the people in behind it to make it work.
So I've got our contract here in front of us, and I suppose my next question is, what companies are you master distributor for? And basically, Glenn, it's those key manufacturers that particularly people like the Vispro Group. I've never heard of the Vispro Group, but when you actually look at the list of companies in that group, they're going to be familiar to people. Can you just sort of cover those sorts of things for us?
Yeah, certainly. And actually, we were probably better known for our product names when I arrived 13 years ago than the company name itself, because we are the master distributor of Jaws and Zoom Text and Kurzweil products, which have been around for most of those 40 years we've been around. And also we sell Optelec and EVS, and all of those are now in the Vispro Group, who have hoovered up all those companies in the market. So we cover all of those, but we're also the master distributor for HIMSS, so that's your Polaris and the Braille note takers, Index and Tiger embossers. So we've got a lot of support in the education market who have to produce output. Plextalk and Sunu are some more niche products around portability, orientation, navigation. We do the Mountbatten Brailler, we're the importer of that. In lots of schools, mobile phones like the Smart Vision and the Mini Vision. And the brand new one, which everyone's hankering after, is the Envision glasses. We're also the Orcam distributor as well, though other people sell that. So we're not the master for Orcam, but we are the master for Envision glasses, which are, I would say, Orcam plus plus, because they do so many really clever things. One of the things that the Envision glasses do, I have to stick this into the conversation, Gray, is that you can, through a mobile phone, someone supporting you through a mobile phone anywhere in the world can log into your glasses and see what you can see. So if you're stuck out there with a pair of Envision vision glasses and you need a bit of help, you just touch your phone, click your Ally app, your buddy answers the call, and you say, hey, I'm in the street somewhere, but I can't see where I am. And you can say, hey, yeah, I can see. You're facing the bus stop. Just move ahead. So really clever technology coming out. Being the master allows us to work with the developers and inventors and capture some of the really best technology and bring it into the market as well. So, yeah, that's we're master for a wide range of products and services. And I would say, wouldn't I? You'd hear me. I'm master for the number one, number two, and sometimes the number three product in every segment. So we like to think that we're bringing the best to you guys in Devon.
Brilliant. So you're also a distributor, but not a Tide manufacturer for a range of solutions. What does that mean?
Well, it means actually, as I alluded to earlier, so products like the Orcam, where we take it to market because it's a very good product, but others sell that as well. So a distributor who's not a master distributor will be in the market competing against other companies selling and supplying the same equipment. I've got a number of other distribution agreements, which for Devon allows me to bring anything that your client base wants, needs, I can bring it to you. So it'd be very unusual if there wasn't something in the market that we couldn't actually get for you guys as well. And that's what I think for this relationship, it means that as a master, I can give you the very best support with those products, the leading ones. Anything else, I can get it for you as well. And so if your client base really are, you know, Humanware fans or other products in the market that VisionAid and others sell, I can also get those as well.
Fantastic. So I'm going to jump a couple of questions. I understand that Sight and Sound are able to support a wide range of apps and smartphone smart home solutions. What do these include?
Well, you see, this is a key one for us. You know, we and actually, to be fair, it came out of our discussions with Julian and the Sight Loss MOT. We said we'd like to work more closely with you, and he said, that's fine, but you really have to make sure you can support the widest range of tech that our you know, that our client base, the people we deal with, use. And typically, people in our industry don't deal with these smart home products, but they're becoming very, very important to people. So I have, over the last year, equipped ourselves to support the Apple iOS, the Apple operating system, Android, Alexa, the Nest, home security, Hive, and even free screen readers like NVDA, we're able to provide some support for as well. And I felt that if I was going into people's homes and undertaking referral work with you, then I should be able to support as much technology as I can and be as useful as I can when we turn up. So so successful has this our entry into this area been that one of the very big charities, who I can't name right yet, has about to contract us to support home solutions for their service users UK-wide. So there's a big need for this out there, you know. And next on my list of things to do, actually, is to write our own Alexa skill so that people who've got Alexa can say, oh, tell me about the Sight and Sound events or, you know, Sight and Sound specific stuff. We're able to spill it out to people through the Alexa technology. So, yeah, that's what it means, actually. I think it means we're getting into an area where all your people and people listening are very excited to rely on, and we want to try and help in that area as well.
Do you think there's a greater demand for these solutions since COVID-19?
Undoubtedly. People really are having to try and find themselves some form of independence for no other reason than they can't have people in their home with them because they're shielding or they're vulnerable. And so they may not have hitherto run towards some technology, but they've been pushed in that direction a little bit, to be fair, and found that actually with a bit of support you can get yourself up and running and it can really help you in your life. So yes, there has been a greater demand over the last year, and I think this is just there's not many good things that come out of COVID, but I think one of them for people with low vision is that it has perhaps motivated them to find out a little bit more about technology so they can be independent without having to come into contact with people, and that has certainly happened this year.
You know, my aunt is 93. It was her birthday yesterday, and she's in a nursing home in Surrey, which is where I was born. And in the last month, 10 residents in her nursing home have died of COVID. She's in her room on her own, but she started with an iPad many years ago, and every day I give her a call, we have a video chat over the iPad, she's playing games over the computer, she's speaking to friends, and I'm not going to say resistance, but I think when we first started talking about assistive technology 5 or 6 years ago, there was a huge proportion of our clients were quite closed to it because they'd not experienced computers at work or didn't have computers at home or this sort of equipment. But now we're seeing a big change. And when we were holding our talk and support groups in the community, we actually found that clients were showing the equipment to other people at these events, showing their phones, showing their iPads, and that started an interest. And we've noticed a big demand for these things, which is, again, why we want to work with you. Right, let's move on to the next thing. Aren't you one of a small number of accredited suppliers to students in receipt of Disability Students Allowance?
That's right. Yeah. DSA, Disabled Students Allowance, is available, sadly, only to people in university. So at college and school, it has to be funded by the institution. But if you're going to university and you have some form of disability, then you can take Disabled Students Allowance. And we're one of the 9 accredited suppliers in that segment of the industry, which means we deal with about 10,000 students at any one time, providing them with computing and a wide range of technology, actually. But the key things is we train them and we support them for the length of their course. I also have 5 assessment centres who actually do the assessment of the students before they get to their equipment phase. So, yes, I'm quite well embedded in DSA, and we spend a lot of time out there working with students all the way across the UK and Scotland.
Fantastic. You also support employees who are in receipt of access to work allowance?
Yeah, similarly. And on my little hobby horse, I have to say that the access to work scheme doesn't work as well as the Disabled Students Allowance scheme. It's a bit fragmented. So if an employee needs 5 pieces of equipment, then they may be recommended to have 5 pieces of equipment from different suppliers, which means they're going to go and have to make 5 phone calls, which is fine. I understand that achieves the lowest possible price. But if those 5 pieces of equipment don't work together, then sometimes the employee struggles to make their whole solution work, whereas in DSA, one supplier delivers the whole end-to-end solution. But we work in both areas, and the model's very similar. An assessor recommends, a service provider like ourselves delivers and supports those people in their institution or in the workplace.
Fantastic. My experience of access to work has been horrendous. We had one member of staff who required about 20 items of equipment, and it took months and months and months to get everything here, to get the training in place. It wasn't a good experience. So it's good to know that we've got your expertise now. Okay, let's talk a bit about product development and identifying new developments. So I've put here that I understand that you work with key developers worldwide to bring effective technology for people who are blind and partially sighted into the UK market. Can you give us some examples of that, and also about affordability?
Yeah, I think this is one of the very, very important things that we can bring to you at Devon here, because most of my day job, when I'm not sort of running the day-to-day business, is searching worldwide for the very, very best technology and the next technology that's going to come and change people's lives. And there's lots of inventors out there, developers out there, and what I can do is take our long knowledge and broad touch on the UK market back to those developers, and I can see what they've got, but I can also tell them if it will work or not. I can tell them how it would be delivered into our market. I can tell them whether I can support it or not, because as we often know, technology is sometimes not that easy to use. So it's a bit of a two-way street, but I search the world looking, and there's 2 big heartlands of technology in our sector, probably in most sectors actually. One is the United States, and the other one is Israel, amazingly, right, who are very powerful developers of technology. The Orcam comes from Israel, funny enough. A good example of that would be the Envision device, which we just launched in January, which is a real game changer. It's a bit like the Orcam, does more things and is £1,000 cheaper. And I think that's what one of our points is. We like to not just bring new technology, but we try to make sure it's as affordable as possible. I've been working with a chap in California. They all seem to be in California. A guy called Jay, who's got a product called Idaptic. Now, Idaptic's quite clever because he claims, and it's still in the later stages of development, to be able to divert the image that comes in through the front of the glasses, which is a bit like a camera, really, and present it to the part of the eye that is not damaged. So the rods or the cones at the back of the eye. If there's some dark spots or areas where there is no sensitivity, then it claims you have to divert the image to a better part of the eye, and therefore you can see better. Big claims, and I'm actually waiting for some to be shipped to me to play with. But that's what I do. I go out looking to see people who are trying to really change the world, and with you know, augmented reality and AI and all this automated world coming along, I think it's going to have a big impact on the area of sight loss and sight loss technology. Some very clever things happening out there. And yes, I'm off, and it's the fun part of my job, Ray. I'm out there playing with the tech, which has been my life, actually. Give me something to play with, you know, that's a bit techie, and I'm in my element. And yeah, so I'm out there and out and about looking at lots of different things at the moment. Probably a good half a dozen good candidates out there at the moment.
Fantastic. Let's move to a different subject area now. So can you tell me a bit about the accredited training courses that you do to people working in the sight loss sector?
Yeah, so very much of what we've been talking about the last few minutes has been about our services and support for the service users, the end users, the people out there who've got the sight loss. But of course, there's a whole raft of eye care professionals, eye health professionals out there whose job it is to you know, to assist where they can, to provide medical intervention where they can. But what we've found, and there's you know, 20,000 opticians out there. There's thousands of ophthalmic opticians and eye care professionals, and we found that amazingly, really, they don't really know a lot about some of the sort of technology that you and I have worked with for many years. So we started to put some CPD, continuing professional development courses together for the sector. We got some of them accredited by the General Optical Council, the GOC. They're called CETs. Wow, there's a handful of acronyms, aren't there? CPD from the GOC turned into CETs. Well, they're just courses. And these courses are sort of case study led. We put a number of different cases, different ages, different eye conditions, and we look at the different technologies that help people with those conditions. And it's often like drawing the curtains back with some of the professionals we talk to. We've seen about 2,000 or so in the last year and deliver these courses to them, and we do a handful a month. And we think it's really part of our role is to educate those people at the front end of the industry so that people don't get sent to Moorfields when there's no hope of a clinical intervention. They should come to you and come to me. And if they can afford it, of course, I'm not you know, naive. I know that this stuff costs money, but if they can afford it, then you can use technology to help you get independence where there's no form of medical support. So, yeah, we do quite a lot of work in that area. It's our little attempt to really educate the industry as well.
Fantastic. Can you tell me a bit about your technical support team and what they do?
Well, I blather on about it because I think it's one of the little cherries on the top of our cake. Our tech support people are loved the UK-wide because they spend a lot of time looking after people, and that service is free of charge. With anybody who takes a product through us, we look after them as very, very best as we can. We've got some very powerful platforms now that allow us to remotely access people's computers where they're happy with that. We help support and install software to make sure that their systems are up and running. And we repair equipment. We talk people through how to use it on the phone. We cut videos for them so that they can, where they can see it, or where their carers and support people can see it, we help them get going. So my tech support team is pretty unique because, you know, blowing your own trumpet, most of the other companies in the industry are smaller businesses and they tend to be more sales houses, where we are really a support and training house. And I think that is what sets us apart from other people in the industry, really.
Sorry, I'm just writing that down. Support and trading house. What a great description that is. That's brilliant. So you've got your technical support team. What does your technical support desk do?
So, well, the desk is there. So it's taking inbound calls in the main from people who say, help, help. It doesn't work anymore. I can't get this to happen. They log the tickets, and then they start working on it with people. We have a triage system, just like every good A&E, where we try to turn simple cases around quickly. And then we funnel off the more difficult cases to the more skilled or experienced people in the team. And yeah, we work very hard every minute of every day trying to find why something stopped working. And these days, it's all remote, mostly anyway, always has been. But these days, it's totally remote, and we can't send someone around someone's house to pick it up and bring it back and have a look at it. So we have to work very smart as well on the phone to try and work out how we get things up and running again. Yeah, so that's what we do, really.
Brilliant. Can you tell us a little bit about your webinar event?
Yeah, so my man Stuart runs Webinar Wednesday. We run social events, and you can find all these through the Sight and Sound YouTube channel or through our website. We have a little link to find out what's going on. But we have often over 100 people most weeks, and they're a little bit social, but we bring speakers who are talking about industry or issues in the industry. We have 450 people on an event where we talked about social distancing, for example, for visually impaired people. Big issue back last spring. And we bring technology, we bring inventors, we had last Wednesday night, actually, I was working with a guy in California who's doing stem cell technology to try and actually restore eyesight. Actually, he put me out of business if he's very successful, which I very much hope will happen one day, that I'm not needed for the same things. But we bring all those type of different subjects to the user base. And it's generally on a Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, but we run probably three or four a week. And we also cut podcasts, which you can go onto our YouTube channel and listen to as well. So I have a team creating all of that. We have a weekly newsletter, which I'd love your people listening to sign up to. And that has, of course, it's electronic these days, but you can log into that. And there's links to all of our podcasts at the back of that as well. So we're creating a lot of information that people can tap into free of charge to, either enlighten their lives a little bit or give them some important information that aids them with their independence.
Great. Now I'm going to do some quick fire questions now.
Okay.
With our new technology partnership, are you limited to which products and services you can supply?
No.
That's a good answer. With Sight and Sound Technology becoming the exclusive assistive technology partner of Devon Insight, what happens if you are unable to supply the requested product or service?
If I can't do it, I'll point you in the direction of someone who can. We're not going to be a barrier at all to people getting whatever it is they need. I think I can get it all. If I can't, I'll certainly facilitate you, your service users or yourselves getting it from a place they can.
Fantastic. What do you see as the vision for our new partnership?
You know, this is the first in the UK that Devon and Sight and Sound have put together, and I have a couple of other people really interested in it. We ran a pilot with Seascape in Fife in Scotland the last year, but this is the first real execution of it, Gray. And I think, you know, if we can build a public-private or a private charity partnership that allows us to build up a focus on your base, a knowledge, a history, a consistent partner to you, then I think we can provide that technology knowledge that you would struggle probably to invest in and create yourselves. And you've got that job, that responsibility, looking after people at the front line. So I think together, us sitting behind you with the tech space can allow you to focus on what you do best at the local space. So I think that's what it is. It's a tech local partnership.
That's fantastic. Now, this is an interesting question because part of my role as chief exec of the charity is around due diligence and process and compliance and all that sort of thing. So my question is, do you see any issues around impartiality or ethics with this kind of business charity relationship?
I don't think so, to be quite honest. I think that if there's a conflict, it's my job to declare it. It's your job to call me out if you see a conflict. And I can assure you that I'll be telling you before you tell me if there's something that's not quite right. What I'm doing is basically, by forming an exclusive partnership with you, I'm creating a space that I can put investment in to create an environment in which we can both operate together. If I was one of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, knocking on your door saying, buy from us, buy from us, buy from us, nobody can quite create the space or the income to actually provide the support and the investment to actually add some value. And I think what we've come across here, you know, you guys, work hard to create your and raise your money to run your charity. It's hard work. And if all you're doing is splitting amongst 10 others trying to support you, no one on their own, I don't think, can do what we want to do with you. So, it is about being honest and open, I think. And honestly, I think if I'm doing everything for you, then I can give you more than I would if I was doing one-tenth of the things for you. And if I'm open about that, at least we all know where we're coming from.
Yeah, I agree. And it, just to put people's minds at rest, we went through quite a lengthy three-month process of due diligence, where we took the proposal to work together to the board of trustees. We had a consultation with the staff team. And where concerns were raised, we addressed all of those, and you were open and honest, and we were with you. And I'm just very hopeful that this is going to work out well. So let's look to the future. Once COVID restrictions are lifted, and we would hope to set up some sort of technology room here at Splatford Barton. Can you tell me a bit about how your technology rooms have operated elsewhere in the country?
Yeah, this is the key one, you know, because a lot of money is spent on putting technology into technology rooms. And if the frontline people don't know how to support it, don't know what it does, then it tends to sort of sit there rather dormant, and it's a waste of time, effort, money for everybody. So our approach to technology rooms really is to keep them fresh, to keep them moving, and to keep new technology coming through. Yep, there's some stuff that's always in there, magnifiers and handhelds and things like that, which everybody needs. But we aim to every quarter or so paint the technology around so that you can bring different products in, different services. We can then spend some time with your team, getting people up to speed, knowing how to support it, because it's a narrower range. You know, it might be a mobile quarter, it might be a magnification quarter, it might be a wearables quarter of the year that you've got stuff out there. And I think this will make it a much more interesting, exciting place and a more supportable place than a staid room with the lights off and the door locked and nobody really knowing what's good and what's not so good in there. So that's our approach to technology. We only put it out there if there's a demand for it, really. And our job is to educate people to create that demand.
Okay, let's carry on with some more quick fire stuff. I understand that you have been able to maintain some home visits during the COVID crisis. How do you do that safely?
We obviously have our own policies. We observe the Public Health England guidelines and protocols on COVID-19 and safeguarding. All of our people have full PPE. They are ensuring they keep as much distance as they can. We check with clients before we go in to make sure that they are not vulnerable, that they are not having any symptoms, and we confirm the same ourselves. And we disinfect everything that's been used the moment we come out. And that has worked for 9 of the 12 months, probably 8 of the 12 months we've been out on the road in a much more limited form. But we've had no cases of clients contracting COVID from us. And actually, we've only had one case of COVID in the whole company in 1 year. And that was the partner of a nurse who worked in the COVID ward in the Northeast. So that's probably not unsurprising. But yeah, I think we've worked out how to do it as safe as possible. But I would be the very first to say that, of course, it's a pretty virulent virus. And, if you don't look after yourself, then it can transmit. And if that happened, we would stop immediately. But so far, absolutely, so good, Graham. We do follow all the guidelines.
Okay, I'm going to do some real quick fires here because we've got literally 5 minutes.
Right.
Once we get some normality back, will Sight and Sound be able to attend our community-based talk and support groups to talk about equipment?
Looking forward to it, definitely.
Great. We've previously held roadshows and exhibition events. Are these the kinds of things that you would get involved with?
Absolutely.
How does Sight and Sound Technology keep its pricing competitive?
By making sure that we maximise the sales opportunities. And so if we get the volume out there in the market, we can obviously distribute our fixed costs over a broader volume, which means we can work on a lower margin. We are, remember, the master distributor, so we get the best margin to start with, so we make sure our markups are realistic, and we try to get it to the market as effectively as possible. So we work hard in all of those areas to try to make things as affordable as possible. But I will say, things are expensive, and I'm not going to pretend that this the equipment is easy for people to afford. It's not, which is why we spend so much time supporting it, because we know if you spend a lot of money on it, if it doesn't work for you, then it's not good value at all.
Absolutely. Now, naturally, as managers, we will hold a formal quarterly meeting to monitor and evaluate and review what we're doing in this partnership. I'm interested to know, how do you get feedback from your customers?
If you go to, we get it through all sorts of different ways, but the key way and the unique way we get it is that every email we send out has three little faces on the bottom: a green smiley, amber neutral, and a red sad face. And we encourage our clients who engage with us to click one of those at the end of every interaction with us. And unlike probably most other businesses, we collect hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feedback points every week in the company. And I can tell you, looking back at my quality meeting yesterday, that our last month our average green faces was 96.1 to 98.1 across the 4 weeks, and therefore if anybody clicks a neutral face or a red sad face, we immediately look at that, talk to the client, find out what went wrong, why it went wrong. One of the reasons is actually, unfortunately, the smiley faces called Kruhu aren't quite as accessible as we like, and some people click the wrong button. So we might get one or two neutrals or pours a month, and generally they're a misclick anyway. So no, we get a lot of feedback and we act on it, because segueing one of your later questions, we are ISO 9001 accredited, and I don't think any other company in this industry is ISO 9001. And we got that with no non-conformances at all. The guy said, the auditor said our business represented no weaknesses when we went through that audit in January. So we're very proud to say that we're now ISO 9001. And that means we look at feedback, we look at complaints, we manage all these things in real time in our business to continually improve.
Okay. I'm going to go on to a later question, which is, we at Devon Insight take the safety of our staff, volunteers and clients very seriously. How do you mitigate the risk of safeguarding issue, particularly when your staff visit a client's at home?
Everybody's got the Disguising and Barring Service clearance to work with disabled and vulnerable people. We follow your safeguarding policies, and we would report immediately any concerns directly to Devon Insight as soon as it's reasonably practical. So, at our regular meetings, we have a safeguarding monitoring outstanding agenda item. So it's top of our list of things to discuss, top of our things of our minds when we're out there in the community.
Great. So if a Devon and Sight client wants to access Sight and Sound Technologies services, how do they do that?
Well, they can obviously come via yourself and you'll refer them on. We've got a sterling gentleman called Tony Shrub, who account manages the Southwest and is your point of contact, and he will take referrals. And we've just developed, although it still needs a little bit of tinkering, a referral portal on our website, and people can go onto their login and pass a referral to us in an online way. And if you do it that way, you can actually then track the status of that referral as it goes through the meeting and the various stages in the process. So there's a mixture of ways you can get us: by email, by phone, by chat, and by our referral portal.
Well, we're going to, over the next month, start promoting this new service. I've noticed we've literally got 5 minutes left. So, Glenn, I'm going to wrap up now with you, and I'd just like to thank you for your time today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I certainly have. And thank you, and we're really looking forward to working with you.
Yeah, we're up and running already together, aren't we? We're getting it going. Love working with you. Realise we've run out of time for Q&A, but if anybody has any questions that they want to ask, if they got them into the Devon Insight team, I'll very happily take those questions and write a response down to you, or even come back on at some stage and if there's any big issues, and I'll talk about them again.
Thanks, Glenn. So everybody, that's the end of our presentation, but before we finish, I'd just like to remind you that our next Sight Loss speaker event will be held next Tuesday. I think that's the 23rd at 10:30 a.m. The speaker will be Susie Walter-Jeffries, who is the Awareness and Peer Support Manager for Devon Carers. Devon Carers offer support, advice, and information for carers. They can also arrange for you to have a carer's assessment, an opportunity to discuss your caring situation, and identify any needs that you may have so that additional assistance can be provided if necessary. Please remember that if you have any questions you would like to submit in advance for Susie, you can give us a call on the helpline. So we hope you can join us then. So that just leaves me to thank today's speaker. That's Glenn Tookey. Thank you, Glenn. And thank you for listening. Goodbye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening too.